Well, a man was visiting his very elderly parents when he noticed his father using these intimate and tender terms of endearment toward his mother. The old man would refer to his wife as honey and baby and sweetie and darling and sugar. And on it went. And the son was impressed that after nearly 60 years of marriage, his dad would still call his mother by these very private and personable names. In fact, at one point in the evening, after the mother had left the room, he turned to his dad and he said, "Dad," he says, "it's so wonderful the way you use these terms to mom, the way you speak to her. You're always calling her by these tender pet names. I'm so impressed." And suddenly a troubled look came over the old man's face and he explained, "Son, I've got to. For the last couple of months, I can't remember her name." Hey, memory loss can be very, very troublesome. It can harm a relationship, especially your relationship with God. Forget the lessons that God taught, the blessings that He brought, the miracles that He wrought, and you're headed for trouble. You see, this is the theme of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means second law. And in it, Moses reminds Israel of the words and the works of God. He wants this generation of Israelis who enter into the promised land not to forget, to remember the experiences of the generation of Israelis who exited Egypt. Chapter 9 begins, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you heard it said, 'Who can stand before the descendants of Anak?' Goliath of Gath," you remember Goliath, all 9 foot 9 inches of him, "will be a later version of these Anakim, these giants. At the time, there was a race of head toppers, a horde of hulks, you might say, who lived in these fortified cities in Canaan." You see, Palestine was sort of like Flowery Branch. It was a land full of these NFL-type, supersized guys. No invading army was any match for these Anakim. And they had a reputation. Notice, Israel had heard, "Who can stand before them?" But in verse 3, Moses explains the difference maker. "Therefore, understand that today that the Lord your God is He who goes before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you." On their own, Israel was no match for these giants, but they had a giant God greater than their enemies. You know, it's like the elderly lady who was accosted in the parking lot by this huge, mean guy. He looked ominous. The old woman was no match for this brute of a man until finally she reached in her purse and she pulled out a Smith & Wesson revolver and stuck it in his nose. Instantly, the tables were turned. There was a difference maker that the attacker didn't see. Israel, too, had a difference maker. God will fight for them as a consuming fire. You know, this is the way God still works in our lives. He challenges His people with tasks that go beyond their own efforts, with missions that are impossible for them to tackle on their own. God deliberately creates these scenarios that where if He doesn't come through, His people are destined to fail. God will call us to a task that forces us to rely on Him as the difference maker. Verse 3, "So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly as the Lord has said to you." Notice that. God had a quick destruction in mind for these Canaanites. You remember, these people were so perverse that God knew that they would influence His people in negative ways. That's why He ordered their total and speedy annihilation. In fact, in his writings, archaeologist William Albright, he describes just how lewd the culture of the ancient Canaanites actually was. He says that of the hundreds of idols that have been found in that area during this period, most of them were of nude females in sexually suggestive forms. as well as male idols associated with homosexual acts. There was these sexual cults that had developed in the land. Canaanite culture was terribly immoral, and that's why God wanted to stamp it out. God promises to drive out the enemy, but he warns Israel, notice this, do not think in your heart, notice that, do not think in your heart, because before you boast with your lips, you will think it in your heart. Pride always begins in the heart. And he warns them, do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me into this, possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It's not because of your righteousness. It's because of their wickedness that this change of ownership is about to happen. God gave the nation Israel this prosperity, not because she was more moral than the others, but because the Canaanites were so evil. God's blessing was granted more in spite of Israel than because of Israel. And I think we all should be able to say the same thing about the blessings that God has lavished upon us. They've been more in spite of me than they've been because of me. It's all about God's grace. Hey, never assume that God blesses you, any of us for that matter, because we've earned it or because we deserve it. None of us are good enough to merit God's favor. His gifts always flow from his grace. He says, it is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Notice, Israel will inherit the land for two reasons, and neither has anything to do with them. God gives them the land as judgment on the Canaanites and as payment for the promise that he made to Abraham. Neither had anything to do with Israel's goodness. He says, therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. Ever had a stiff neck? Stiff neck is an expression for obstinate or stubborn. In the beginning, Israel was just a little less stubborn than these Canaanites. Sadly, over time, they became more so. Notice the word that starts verse 7. It's the theme of the book, remember. And I hope you remember that this is our responsibility to God. He commands us to recall his words, his works, and our wrongs. Can you say that with me? His words, his works, and our wrongs. Don't forget either of those three. Our responsibility is to remember. Reminds me of the lady that was late for appointment. She kept returning into her house to get items that she had forgotten. First it was her keys, and then it was her purse. And finally she came back in and she grabbed her sunglasses. And the third time she raced back into the kitchen, she said to her son, well, pretty soon it looks like I'll be able to hide my own Easter eggs. It's been said, memory is what tells a man his wedding anniversary was yesterday. Why is it that our memory eludes us when we need it most? Why is it we can't even remember the blessings and lessons that God has granted? Moses warns Israel, remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb, which was the region around Mount Sinai, you provoked the Lord to wrath so that the Lord was angry enough with you to have destroyed you. And Moses is about to remind them of that terrible incident of the golden calf. He says, when I went up into the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. How's that for a fast?